Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick minute to talk about our sponsor, Keto Brick. As you guys know, I have been around since the very beginning when it was just an idea, when Robert was getting ready for the show that took him pro and he needed something to help him hit his macros. And I've seen it grow into the company it is today. Just so proud of my friend, and I'm so proud of the company he's built, the people he's been able to help, as he has several people who work for them. And so he's actually helping people make a living doing this now, which is just unbelievable and so inspirational to me. If you don't know what Keto Bricks are, they are shelf-stable fat bombs, for lack of a better term. They are 1,000-calorie bricks, and they have great ingredients. They have ketogenic macros, usually like 88 to 90 grams of fat with 30 grams of protein, and then the carbs are anywhere from 9 to 14. Super low-carb, super keto-friendly, and you can do all types of cool stuff with them. I tell everybody, my favorite is Keto Brick cereal. I chop it up into little chunks and serve it with a bowl of cereal with almond milk or goat milk, which is my favorite. They have several flavors. They now have vegan and whey options. So they have the whey protein peanut butter as well as the old school pea protein peanut butter, which either one of them is easily in my top two. Go back and forth between those and the toasted almond coconut. So definitely go to www.ketobrick.com, get yourself some bricks, and use Vega for a chance to win a whole month supply of bricks. All right, so I am doing a solo cast today because Maura has a bunch of stuff going on, and with all the madness last week, we were not able to release a podcast. We decided to take your questions, and I'm going to be answering all of your questions here. Like I said, I got 3 pages of questions. And once I get through all of those, I'll answer any questions you guys ask in the chat. What's up, Yogi? What's up, Roger? What's up, Michelle? Hi, mommy. My mom's watching. Mickey, Mark Brown. What's up, everybody? I have no idea where this episode is going to go. I have so much on my mind and so much that I'm not really sharing in public because it's just you got to pick your battles nowadays. But I think the place I wanted to start was to say, kind of answer the question of what is the most critical problem I'm currently trying to solve right now. I don't want to say it's the most critical problem, but I want to definitely say that yesterday and today, I've been really thinking about this ever since going to church, and then I had a little situation that happened after church. I think the most critical problem right now is that we need men. We need real men in this world. We need men who stand for what's right. We need men who are courageous, who are protectors, who speak up, and who basically, I don't know. I have a pretty strong belief when it comes to, like, you know, gender roles and things like that. And I just feel like, and my wife is in complete agreement, that men should be protectors and men should be standing up for what is right and all that good stuff. We're just physically, naturally stronger. It's just kind of one of those things. So that's my biggest problem. Hi, Sophie. What's up, Shay? And Aaliyah, welcome to everybody. Yeah, so I'm just going to start working through these. And like I said, if there's time, if you guys ask any questions in the chat, I'll get to those. The first two of these, I think they're probably spam. They're just people saying hello, so hi. Someone said, how was your day? My day has been amazing. Just really focusing. If you guys saw the post that I posted last week on Instagram about the last 58 days of the year, we are currently 53 days left in the year, and every single day I want to live it to the fullest. I want to make it count. I want to put my head on that pillow every night and say that I did everything that I wanted to accomplish that day. So just really, really strict with my schedule. You can check out that post. It's basically the first picture is like a series of steps with my top priorities for the habits that, you know, in their order of priority. So first comes spiritual, then comes like health and performance. And then I think I have relationships, business, and then personal development. And there are things that I do every single day to kind of hit all of those categories. And my biggest focus is really on the night routine, you know, just being much more diligent and consistent with my night routine, doing my 20 minutes of reading to the boys every single night, doing my 20 minutes of reading to myself every single night, and then being very strict with my bedtime as well. 10 p.m., lights out. I wake up at 4:35, so it's not optimal. It's 6.5 hours, but honestly, guys, that's what I sleep no matter what. Like, my body wakes up. You know, on Sunday, I probably went to bed at 11 and I woke up, my body woke me up at 5:30. So it's just kind of the same thing. Ray Vega's watching. What's up, Ops? Oh, Sophie's in Tampa. That's awesome. Let's see. Hello to everybody signing on. All right. So yeah, that's my biggest thing. And I feel great. My day's going great because at 4:30, I woke up. By 5 a.m. I was in my sauna. I did my guided prayer and meditation in the sauna. I also am doing a few Bible studies with some friends. Shout out to Gormy. Shout out to John, aka the Keto Road. We're doing some Bible studies together. And then by 5:30, I hop in the shower like around 5:25. I take a freezing cold shower. And then by 5:30, I'm drinking my coffee, planning my day. 6 a.m., just going over the week plans, because I basically plan my weeks on Sunday. So you see, very anal, very color-coded schedule here that has different categories and they're filled out daily. But yeah, planning out the week on Sundays, and then every single day as I go through my schedule, just looking at what I have, looking at how that's changed, because with what I do, consults come up, phone calls are scheduled. So sometimes I got to change my schedule and just add a few things. And then that's it. From like 6 to 6:30, I'm kind of going over everything, just going over my plan for the day. And then 6:30 at the gym training, up until right around 8:30, because I do a little cool down walk at the end, like a 20 to 30 minute walk. It's not as long as it used to be, because at the end there, I was training for like 2.5 hours because I was doing walking to and from the gym. And yeah, so it's going very, very well. So someone says, hope you're having a great day. Love your smile. I'm adorable. I know. Someone says, mujer de 48 años, cetogénica puede aumentar masa muscular y quemar grasa. Someone says, a woman of 48 years, ketogenic, can she build muscle and burn fat? Absolutely. When you're 48, you're perimenopausal. So I think the average age of menopause is 49 to 52. So you're going to definitely see more hormonal changes. You're going to see your testosterone is probably going to decrease. Your estrogen is definitely going to decrease. And it's just going to become harder. But it all depends on your training age. It all depends on how long you've been training. If you're relatively new, absolutely, you're gonna gain a bunch of muscle and burn a bunch of fat. If you're more advanced, that but you may have had some issues with, you know, just overeating, or just you're a little bit more heavy and you have some weight to lose, then the key for that, and I have a question here on that, but the key for that is to have one main focus. So yes, there is such thing as recomposition, you know, burning fat and building muscle at the same time. But regardless, you always want to have one prioritized. So I would focus on burning the maximum amount of fat first. And you can accomplish that mostly with diet, not really doing much cardio or anything like that. Maybe 1 to 2 HIIT days a week at 15 to 20 minutes tops, daily walking, things like that. And focusing mostly on, you know, a little bit of a caloric deficit. Then from there, you want to go into like a 1 to 2 month maintenance phase and then go into building muscle. And I just think that the benefits are so much better. But I'm going to go deeper into that with another question. But yes, it's totally possible and it's not complicated. Just eat, you know, ketogenic. Make sure your protein is enough. If you're afraid that your protein is not enough, then just you can do a few things. You can say, if you're trying to lose weight, you can set your protein to your desired weight. So if you're a 160-pound woman and you want to get down to 145, you can set your protein to 145. I know that's high for some people, but if you haven't had results with what you've been doing, then maybe it is time to you know, add some protein, because protein drives satiety. Protein has, you know, everything that you need to build muscle, the leucine, isoleucine. And for me, it's my biggest driver of satiety, along with intermittent fasting. So like at 12 p.m. is when I start to eat. I'll probably start a little bit later today. And then I go about until like 7:30, sometimes 8, and that's it. Those two things, eating high protein and condensing my eating window, is really what helps me, because in the nighttime, and especially lately, because I'm a major stress eater, in the nighttime is when it's harder for me, you know? And so it's better for me to hold off on eating, so I have some extra leeway for the nighttime. And those two are my favorite. Someone says, have you ever been overweight? If so, what made you change your mindset? I don't know if my parents are still on here, but my mom knows how vain I am. And so because I've always been so vain, I've never allowed myself to get overweight. The most I've ever been was when I was a power lifter. I was about 245 pounds and I probably had a little bit more than 15% body fat. So even then I might've had some extra fat, but I was still carrying a ton of muscle. But as far as what made you change your mindset, I think the most important thing to do at first when you're feeling, especially now, I know a lot of people after the lockdown, I know people are disgusted with themselves. They're like, what did I do? How did this happen? Don't worry. It happened to a lot of us, you know, like we lose time, we kind of start drifting and we're not mindful. And all of a sudden, like, you know, we're just eating extra. We're not working out as much, you know, we're spending too much time consuming TV, BS TV, BS social media, you know, highly curated and censored propaganda, you know, on every type of media that you're consuming, and your stress levels are up, you're eating more. And I think now coming into this holiday season is the most dangerous time, because, you know, a lot of people say, the holidays. And I hate this, because there's really only two holidays. There's Thanksgiving. And for us as Cubans, there's Noche Buena, which is Christmas Eve. Or, you know, if you're, American, the typical American is like having a big Christmas dinner, a big Christmas ham. And I honestly do think that if let's say you have your grandma's sweet potato pie or you indulge in a dessert, mind you could make those all keto too. So that's always an option too. That's what we do. But let's just say you do that. That's literally two meals in 60 days. That's not going to kill you. That's not the holidays. The holidays is when you're at work and you got these tins full of chocolate candies and tins full of cookies, and you're munching on those all day. And it just becomes like this 3-week thing where it starts probably on Thanksgiving. And then you're eating all the leftovers and then building up to Christmas, and you're walking into the stores and they got little jars of candy and you're eating those. That's what kills people. So if you're feeling like disgusted right now, you're feeling like you need to make a change, don't start yet. Spend a little bit of time figuring out why. Why are you disgusted? Maybe listen to, I recommend listening to this one, because the audiobook is just so much better than the actual hard copy. Listen to Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, because the audiobook has like, it's basically like an audiobook with like a podcast attached, because after every chapter, Goggins and the collaborator, I forget his name, they're going back and forth. Half of them are reading, you know, half of them is being read by Goggins, half of it's being read by the other guy, but they add all these extra stories and it's just a much better experience and much more robust experience as far as like getting everything that was going on in Goggins' life, getting his mindset. But what I really, really love, and I think it's the second challenge, because there are 10 challenges in the book. It starts off with, I think the first challenge is like bad hand, hashtag bad hand. You basically have to sit down and write down all the things going against you, like all the things in your life, like maybe you experienced racism when you were younger, like Goggins, or maybe you grew up in a single parent home. You didn't have a father around. Maybe, you know, there's just all these things that you can think about that basically become ammunition for your excuse machine and you're just making excuses left and right. You're just like, you know, shooting excuses left and right because you have all these excuses. Well, you write all those down and then you own them. But the more important one is the accountability mirror. And I think that I'm going to start reading this book again with some people, some close friends of mine for this last, you know, 52 days starting tomorrow. Because the accountability mirror is where you're brutally honest with yourself every single day. This is why I love daily weigh-ins. This is why I love daily things like that, that just keep you accountable. But that accountability mirror is where you say, you know, you're brutally honest with yourself. And I'll let Goggins explain, you know, how brutally honest to be, because he's got some colorful language. But you need to know your why, and you need to be real with yourself. You need to be accountable with yourself. Because if you're not, if you just say, hey, you know, you're getting a little husky there, that's a euphemism. You know, that's not really what's going on. You know, you could be a lot more honest with yourself. I think we give ourselves outs. It's funny, we're really mean to ourselves with our thoughts and what we say. But when it comes to keeping ourselves accountable, we're not realistic and we're not truthful. And so those things are super important. And do that, of course. And then once you get into that right mindset, once you know your why, and you create a plan and you make it sustainable, write down the plan. Chances are it's going to be way too much because your emotions are high and you're like, maybe you were working out two or three times a week and now you want to go six times a week and you're going to cut your calories by 800, something ridiculous. Don't do that. Please do not do that. Take the longer approach. Take a little bit more time. Extend that. I don't want to say suffering. It's not suffering, especially if you're ketogenic, but like, do it the right way and reap the benefits, play the long game. And that's how you change your mindset. And you just need to understand that motivation. I've been saying this a lot lately. Someone asked me this last week I did an interview with a magazine, an online magazine, and they were asking me about motivation. And motivation, you know what motivates me? Doing things. When I finish a workout, I'm motivated. When I finish my day and I accomplished everything on my checklist and all those things, that's what motivates me. So you have to motivate yourself by doing the thing. Don't wait for motivation to do the thing. You're not going to be motivated half the time. You know, this Monday morning workout was killer. You know, I was out of breath. It was hard, but man, it was amazing. Like when I was done, I felt so good about it. So that's a little stuff on mindset. Now, this next question I absolutely love because it's talking about program design, and program design is one of my favorite things to talk about. By the way, if anyone's asking questions, just hang tight, because I promise once I get through these, I think I should have enough time to answer them. It's not like I'm on a time crunch. The only time crunch I have right now is I want to eat. but someone said, for a push-pull legs rest split, would results be similar if you just went push-pull legs rest? It depends on you. Like, I like that. It just makes a lot of sense. Cause then if you did push, pull legs, rest, push, pull legs, a lot of people like putting their rest day in the middle of the week and then maybe training all weekend. I can't train on Sundays. It's very, very hard for me to train because we go to church, we leave the house at 9:30. That means that by like 8:45, I have to be making sure that the kids are getting ready because Maura's getting ready. So I'm helping them get dressed. But even before that, I'm making sure that they have breakfast. And then if I'm not home for that, number one, it's not cool. It's not fair because I know Maura wants to work out. And number two, just me not being there in those crucial hours is selfish. So for me, it's never going to work where I train on a Sunday unless I'm traveling. And then I could watch my church stream later on in the day. But I like the reason why I like the original, which is the push, pull, legs, rest, is that putting your rest day in the middle of the week is better to me than putting it on the weekend, because on the weekend is when people tend to get lax. And it is kind of nice to have that little extra accountability or even that little extra bit of training on the weekend, especially if you're like, you know, you're not on your typical daily schedule. You may eat a little bit more. And that's just kind of like a way to just kind of counteract that, right? Other than that, I mean, push-pull legs always works. I like push-pull. You can do, I prefer that. If you're going to do a push-pull, you can do a push-pull upper body and lower body. So like you're basically doing on your push day, maybe your first push day, you're more focusing on, you know, quads, triceps, chest, shoulders, things like that. And then on your pull day, you're focusing on glutes, hamstrings, lats, maybe rear delts and things like that. Or you can do, or maybe even a biceps. But either way, I like having number one, legs in almost every workout. I train my legs like two or three times a week. It's not a full leg day, but I get more out of it. What else on that? Yeah, plus you're able to do more frequency. I'm just a big fan of frequency. Instead of doing like a full chest day and then waiting until the next week, I'll have maybe two or three days, maybe 2 days in the week where I'm training chest. Like it all depends, because right now I'm personally focused on my shoulders. So I'm on a 14-day schedule that I created myself. I'm training shoulders 5 times. Three of those times, the shoulders are the main muscles, and two of those times, I'm just adding in shoulders. But if you're looking at your training that way, and if you're doing like a bodybuilding style, it may be good to kind of prioritize which muscles you want to bring up the most and make sure that you're hitting the required or at least adequate volume on that muscle. I think it's eye-opening, especially if you tend to just default to training muscles that you like to train. Roger asks, why the Skippy-Doo? It's not my fault. This right here is like, I got all types of cowlicks in the front, in the back. And the minute like my hair starts to grow until it gets to a certain point, it just does this, you know? So that's why. So do you set a goal weight when you are in maintenance / bulking phase or just a time period? I personally like just do the time period, because I'm not like, I'm at a point now where like any type of muscle that I put on is good. And I know that if I focus on the process of training the right way, executing perfectly, eating enough, resting enough, that whatever comes is going to be good enough because I gave it my all. Some people may need that goal, or some people just want to look towards that. Like, let's say you're 180 pounds and you're starting a 4 month bulk in, October, November, December. So maybe you start September 1st through December. That's kind of like where I was at. I was, mine started October through December. It's kind of 2.5 months. Yeah. So, do you set that might be a good thing to set a goal. And like what I do with my clients is one of the tabs on the Excel spreadsheet that I send them is like a weigh-in tab. And whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight, this is something that I got from Robert Sykes like 4 years ago. Basically, if you're trying to gain weight, you can set your starting weight and your goal weight, and you can set the amount of days. And then let's say you have like a 90-day goal, it'll break that weight down into weekly kind of checkpoints. And, you know, it's not like you're living and dying off of the daily weigh-in, but you're looking at your trends and you're seeing, am I moving in the right direction? You know, you can also do regular body fat checking. So if you don't want to gain a certain amount of body fat more than than that goal that you have, that's when you'll be able to do, like, let's say you do a bi-weekly skin fold caliper, or bi-weekly what are the electro bioelectric impedance, like the I forget the name of that one. Or, you know, if you got it like that, you could do a DEXA scan or a BOD pod. But these are just things that number one, they give us a goal to look towards, and they also give us weekly accountability if we do it that way. When can we record round two together? Soon. Oh man, I don't know if the person who asked this is on, but he asked me, and I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Is Donnie Trump your president? Donnie Trump is my president, and he's also your president. Whether he'll be president on January 20th next year remains to be seen, but he's all of our president. How fast do you build up weight just beginning with 3 pounds and need to know? This is a great question. At first, I thought she was asking about how fast should I build if I'm trying to gain muscle. And I might as well answer that. It's not what she asked, but I might as well answer that. I think a good goal to have is about 1.5 to 2 pounds a week tops. You don't want to push it any more than that, unless you're like Drew and you're doing Fit to Fat to 40. And you're just trying to gain that weight as much as possible, as quickly as possible. But definitely set some upper limits on the amount of weight that you're trying to gain, as even the amount of weight that you're trying to lose. I think for both, 1.5 to 2 pounds a week is good. Sure, if you're just starting, maybe you lose 5 or 7 pounds in that first week because your insulin's going down, your kidneys are basically just excreting all that sodium and potassium and extra fluid and all that because of the fact that you took out those carbs, and you're going to lose some water weight. But what you'll see over time is that if you can average, let's say over 3 months, you want to average 1.5 to 2 pounds a week of loss. Maybe the first week you lose 5, maybe the second week you lose 3, maybe the third week you lose 2. And then maybe that fourth week on, it starts to slow down a little bit. But over time, if you can average that 1.5 to 2 pounds a week, that's pretty awesome. I mean, when you think about it, 10 weeks, 15 pounds, 15 to 20 pounds in 10 weeks, that's very realistic for bulking or cutting. And if you're on a ketogenic diet, you're just going to, the quality of muscle, I just feel is going to be better. But she wants to know how fast you build up weight when you're training with weights. And this is super important, especially for ladies, because a lot of the time, for example, with dumbbells, we have dumbbells that go from 5 to 10. That's too big of a jump for some people. Sometimes with cable machines, like when sometimes the lowest setting on the cable machine is borderline too much, or maybe it's too much. If that's the case, if it's too much, then you just got to wait until you get to that point where you can execute. Let's say you have to do 8 reps of something. You can execute those 8 reps perfectly, keeping that joint stable. And the example that I'm thinking of is like cable lateral raises. You know, like if Maura does those with me, if she's training with me, you know, the lowest that cable machine goes is 11 pounds and she can barely get the amount of reps with that. So just make sure that if a piece of equipment does not have the ability to add a weight in the increment that you want, you can do other things. You can do, let's say last week, if you're keeping a journal, definitely keep a journal. I just keep mine in my notes, my iPhone notes. If you did, you know, 3 pounds for 10 reps last week, try to get an extra rep this week. If you're doing 3 pounds for 15 reps in, you know, a month or so, then, you know, you added 5 reps, you got stronger. Maybe after that month, you go up to 5 and see if you can get 10 pounds with 5. So always, always, always challenge yourself more every single week. Like if last week you did that 3 pounds and that 10th rep was hard, then stay with that 3 pounds, see if you can get an 11th rep, or if you execute that 10th rep better, then you know you got better. It's not always going to be linear. You guys know it's just this up and down. Sometimes you have a bad day, but in general, you always progressive overload. That is the number one of the first principles of building muscles, is that you have to constantly push it more. You know, whether you're trying to build muscle, whether you're trying to gain endurance, all of those things, it's never over. So knowing that, that should really help you with this whole diet mentality where people go on a 12-week challenge and they feel awesome. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then next year they do another 12-week challenge and you're just spinning your wheels. It's so much better to just go a little bit slower and stay consistent. One of my biggest keys to looking the way I look, to feeling the way I feel, is consistency over 26 years, 26 years of consistency. Ask my dad if he's still on. 13 years old, I started lifting weights with my football coach, and that's what's helped me. You know, staying consistent over time is better than everything. And of course, you always got to push a little bit more. What's the deal with doctors who actively work to debunk keto while other doctors support it? Science is kind of crazy, man. There's definitely always going to be a little bit of a bias. The real good scientists are the ones that acknowledge their biases and just present things as dispassionately as possible. What I've seen, you know, in my career, even in grad school, is that there's this trend, number one, in research where you kind of have a conclusion and then you try to make your experiment support the conclusion. That's not how we do science. That happens a lot. And that's not helpful at all, because if you don't know statistical manipulations, if you don't know all the ways that they can create studies and just manipulate them and manipulate you with crappy data, That's a problem. You know, you're just gonna believe everything that you see in studies. And if you see things like with ketogenic diets, for example, and carnivore diets, where so much of the information is anecdotal, where so much of it is case studies. Thank God for doctors who are publishing case studies, because it's really, really hard to get funding for randomized controlled trials. And so it's kind of hard. But one really cool thing that my friend Frida, and shout out to Frida Turan, follow her on IG, Frida Turan. She's an amazing young woman who is, she's jacked. She's a genius. She's getting her MD, PhD, I believe, in neuroscience. She's focused on SUDEP, sudden death epilepsy. And she shared with me, she texted me yesterday, an awesome screenshot that basically had ketogenic research studies, and it had like a timeline. And ever since like 2010, it's gone through the roof. So there's lots and lots of research out there. There's lots and lots of bad research. But in general, like if you came up through a certain institution that's not friendly with keto, and your grant money is linked to that, and it does not pay off for you to support keto, then what do you think is going to happen? I mean, everything in this world is built off of incentives. Like if we don't have incentives to do things, we're less likely to do them. And I mean, that goes with my kids. If I don't give my kids the proper incentives to do the things that I want, then they're not going to do them. And I have to admit that, you know, it's not just my way or the highway, because how do you inculcate an idea without buy-in? You know what I mean? You have to have people buy in, and for them to buy in, they have to know what's in it for them. So that's just a reality. You know, I when it comes to science, it used to be where, you know, people would accept that there's differences in the science, and that we need to explore this a little further. And now, along with pretty much every other subject, and I blame social media for this, a lot of this, because we have these algorithms that are kind of showing us only what we want to see. And if we're keto people, or if we're not keto people, if we like that douchebag that you know is talking crap about keto and is making like clickbait videos talking crap about keto and being disingenuous, or maybe only focusing on weight loss and not talking about fat loss and being disingenuous in a million different ways, that's what you're going to see. And whenever you see something different, because you're not exposed to it, you're going to get all in your feelings, and you're going to get emotional. You're going to probably, engage in fallacies and just always trying to be right versus looking for the truth. And I guess that's what happens, man. Tips for building muscle, workout style or split and carbs. Okay, that's a good one. And it came from an account called Dual Fueled Fitness. So I could tell this person probably likes to eat carbs. So tips for building muscle. Let's start with the workout style or split. If you're building muscle, if that's your main goal, let's be honest, CrossFit's not going to be your best idea. You know, one of the things that Maura noticed is like back in the day when we were doing CrossFit, she was just coming back from the pregnancy with Desmond. You know, if you're doing 150 wall balls, right, your shoulders are going to burn, your butt's going to burn, but your quads are going to burn a ton too. You're not really getting the adequate volume in the muscle group to add specific muscle, you know. And it's funny because I always used to be against this. I used to always be like, well, we're not put together like that. You know, we're all like a kinetic chain. We're functional and all that stuff. And I still think that way, and I still move that way. But if I'm trying to gain muscle, I'm going to have to, you know, put a target. You know, I'm going to have to set some volume for each muscle. And I'm going to have to do that, because if not, it's kind of like that old saying, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, or if you don't have a goal, how do you know where you're going? You have to have a goal. And if you have a goal, you're going to have specific exercises tailored to that goal. As far as what I like, I've always been a fan of training several muscles at a time, you know, and I tend to go more towards like a full body, even though it may not be my whole body being trained in one day. But if you look at Keto Muscle Intelligence, the way we designed that program, and I wrote 12 months of different workouts for everybody who signed up for the ongoing programming, pretty much every day it started with maybe like a leg movement, you know. But to keep it simple, My current split, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and open it up so I can show you guys what my current split is. I think I did a live on this and I answered questions, but in general, I want to just kind of break this down. So my current focus is on my shoulders. So day one, shoulders and back. And oh, and by the way, when you hear the order of the muscles that I'm mentioning, pay attention to that as well, because it also tells you the priority of that muscle. So maybe on that day, if it says shoulders and back, there's a little bit more shoulders. If it says back and shoulders, there's a little more back. So day one is shoulders and back. Day two is quads and triceps. Day three is chest and biceps. Day four is hamstrings, glutes, and shoulders. So my shoulders is the last muscle mentioned, but I'm hitting shoulders again. Day five is either a cardio day or a parasympathetic day, maybe just chill. Day six is back and shoulders. Day seven is off Sunday. Day eight is triceps and quads. Day nine is biceps and chest. You notice how on the second week they flipped. Day 10 is shoulders, hamstrings, and glutes. So shoulders was the last. Now shoulders is the first. Day 11 is, you know, a parasympathetic day or cardio. Day 12 is back and shoulders. Day 13 is chest, calves, and abs. And day 14 is off. So that's how I do it. Don't ever worry about, like, someone asked me the other day, like, oh, I've never seen those two muscles paired together. Like, who cares? Who cares? Like maybe you haven't done that before. Maybe that's good. I could tell you that this is week three of what we're doing here, and it's freaking awesome. As far as carbs, I mean, if you can handle 5 to 6 days a week lifting, then go for it. You know, go for it. If you were training 4 days a week and you want to add an extra day or an extra 2 days, go for it if you can handle it. Just pay attention to how you're feeling, listen to your body, and make sure that you're eating enough. As far as carbs, before I go into carbs, I just want to mention calories. So calories should be a minimum of 15 to 20 times your body weight, a minimum, you know, or you can do the opposite of what my friend Josiah does, which is like, if you're trying to lose weight, let's say you want to get down to 200 pounds. And you're 220. So you would set your calories to 200 times 12, which would be 2,400. That would be your starting point. And then you would see how far you can get with those calories before you add cardio or you bring them down. You could do the same thing for if you're trying to gain weight. So if you're 200 pounds and you're trying to get to 220, let me see if that works with the same. So 220, that would be 2640 versus 200 times. No, that's not enough. Don't listen to that one. Only do that if you're trying to lose weight. If you're trying to gain weight, you want to multiply by 15 to 20 times your body weight. So if you're 200, you want to definitely start at 3000 or even 4000, 3 to 4000, or you could split the difference at 3500, 15 to 20 times your body weight. Pay attention to how much weight you're gaining every week. Again, with the body fat, you could do that. And then as far as carbs go, it depends on how advanced you are. You know, if you've been training for a really long time and you've built a ton of muscle without carbs, then or with carbs, then maybe, you know, you could add carbs. Maybe you can do pre-workout. I don't do a lot of carbs when I am doing carbs. I would do default to superstarch. I just take a scoop of superstarch. It's about 22 carbs, doesn't impact insulin. It does nothing to my blood sugar. And then post-workout, maybe I would take in like another 50 or 60 carbs. And then maybe throughout the day, I take in like an extra 20 to 30 carbs split into two more meals so that I just keep my blood sugar stable. And then maybe on that day, maybe I'm having 100 carbs, spaced throughout the day, but most of them are in and around my workout window. So that's a good way to do it. You can also do like a carb up day per week. My carb up days they're very conservative. You know, if I carb up, it's going to be to my body weight. So if I'm 220, I'll add 220 carbs that day. And then I just want to keep my diet isocaloric. So I want to keep the calories the same. So if I was eating 200 grams of fat before, I would just basically subtract the amount of fat grams that I need to keep the calories the same as I had them before. So maybe before I was eating 200, maybe now with this extra bit of carbs. Maybe I'm eating 140 or 150 grams of carbs. Of fat. I don't know the exact numbers. Let's see. How can I get in touch? I already answered that one. What are a few of your favorite Bible verses? My number one life verse is James 12, and I'll read, or James 1:12, and I'll read that to you guys now. It's about the importance of James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And you can look at different translations. There are many of translations. Some of them, it makes it look like maybe these trials are trials of faith. Some of them are more like some of them are like trials, like actual physical trials that you're going through. In general, I just think it's great. You know, like people who go through trials, the person that I am is because of the trials I've gone through. And if I wouldn't have had those trials, I wouldn't be as hard as I am. I wouldn't be as resilient as I am. So that's my favorite one. Psalms 141 is a whole chapter. That's another really important set of verses for me. I've really been loving Psalms lately. Actually, if you guys are Christian, or you're just curious about, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, leaders and all those things, read Psalm 2. Read Psalm 2. You're going to love it. Those are some of my favorites, man. I mean, Proverbs 31 is another great one. Proverbs in general is just life instructions. It's just all about how to live a good life. And Proverbs 31 is the description of the woman who I'm so blessed to call my wife. I actually, you guys will see, I'm working on a post appreciating Maura, because I really, truly, I'm just so grateful to be with someone like her. So let's see, I got my Facebook. We're almost done with these. So I'll be able to go back and answer your questions. But why are you so choochy? I'm super choochy because I'm Cuban and I'm a little bit, what's the word? What's that old word that we used to call? Metro. Remember that? Metrosexual. I'm choochy because I'm Cuban and I keep myself as groomed as possible. That's why I'm so choochy. Everyone says cut body fat before building muscle. Is there an ideal body fat to reach? I'm guessing 12%. You know, honestly, that's a good way to look at it. It all depends on where you're coming from, because if you're coming from like 30%, then, you know, maybe you try to get to 15%. You know, getting down to 12%, that might be hard for a lot of people, but I totally agree with burning fat first and getting as lean as possible and then adding muscle. I just, in myself, in my clients, I just see it work the best that way. And I mentioned this before, like there's this period after you cut and after your maintenance where you're adding calories back in, and it's almost like your body is in such a fat burning state that you're adding calories and you're not gaining weight yet. And that's when magic starts to happen. You look like all your muscles are popping more and it looks better because you're leaner. So let's see if there are any questions here that I can answer here. All right. Hey, Bobby, let's see. I think that's okay. So John G. Lake said we need a man's gospel to be preached. He said basically that too many churches are preaching a wimpy, limp-wristed gospel. Absolutely. You know, we don't go to church to get our ears tickled. We go to church to hear the truth. And the truth hurts sometimes, you know. Let's see what else someone said. Sorry, brother. So, Yogi's had shoulder issues, man. Yeah, man, I hate that. Let's see. What's your current macros and strength goals? What type of programming are you using to achieve your current strength goals? That's from Carrie. So, Carrie, my current macros this week are right around 250 grams of protein. I think my fat is at 220 and my total carbs are at like 15. But I'm going to be ramping that fat up, over time as we continue. And, what type of program am I using? My programming is my own. That's one of my favorite things that I love to do, writing programming. We have options on the website. So if you go to www.fatfueled.family, not fatfueledfamily.com, we weren't fortunate enough to get that, but you can check out all of our programs. And we got a huge program for ladies coming out next week. So stay tuned for that. My strength goals, I don't really have strength goals. I'm just focused on building muscle. And I don't have, like I said earlier, I don't have a specific amount of pounds that I want to add. Ideas for preventing sarcopenia related to extended fast. Man, I haven't seen anything on sarcopenia being driven by extended fasts. I would love to see if that's like an anecdotal thing or if that's something that you saw. Please let me know, brother. Just text me, send me what you got. But, you know, I really like what Mary's been doing lately. Mary has been doing alternate day fasting. And I think that based on what she said, she's had a lot more progress, a lot more. It's just benefited her much more. Instead of doing like that weekly 3-day fast or whatever, she's doing like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, eat, Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, eat, I guess, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, fast. So that's one thing that you could do is just do maybe less extended of a fast more frequently. So you would get like, you would still get your 3 days of fasting, but it would just be separated. But I don't really have any ideas on that, man. I would love to see like what's driving it or what they think is driving it. If there's a study then I could think about it. Katie Cat. Thanks for this live. Now that I have shed most of my fat, I need to build more muscle. I need your advice. And Maura's leggings. Yeah, well, that's cool. Maura's leggings, you could definitely reach out to her. She would love to help you with that. And then as far as building more muscle, I'm so happy for you. That's awesome that you lost all your fat. Really, just now, if you were lifting weights 3 times a week before, I would definitely lift maybe 4 times a week. And whatever the muscles are that you want to work on, just put a little bit of priority there. Check out the programs that we have in our shop. We have plenty of them. And, you know, I have a few for women. Maura has a few for women. So you can check those out. Or you can do a consult with me. And that comes with a month of a customized meal plan as well as customized training plan. Those two things are so easy for me to write. And I enjoy writing them that I like to do those consults because it's like fun for me to write people programs. Wow. Down under 280 for the first time since high school. Went from 40. Yogi, you're a freaking 38 waist. Holy crap, dude. Was a 68 a few years ago. Guys, if you don't know Yogi, he's a giant of a human being. And the fact that you're at 38, dude, that is freaking amazing, brother. That is, wow, dude, I got goosebumps, man. That's freaking awesome, man. Let's see. CBD oil. Lingering car accident. Oh, sleeping on the injured shoulder. I'm sorry to hear that, bro. Also, by the way, dry needling paired with cupping is amazing. So if you can have someone that does dry needling and then does the cupping, it's a nice little, it gives you like that acute little injury there. And then the cupping brings a lot more blood into the overall area. And it works really well together. Bulking for the first time. I love it when I hear women bulking. Bulking for the first time after years of calorie restriction and always cutting, freaking out over fluff. Any advice? I'm a huge fan. Thanks for all your knowledge. Thank you, Michelle. First of all, congrats on just focusing on bulking. Check out Tara Garrison's post from, I think it's from today or yesterday. Coach Tara Garrison, she's a good friend of mine, a good friend of ours. And she says that muscles are calorie absorbers. So maybe there is that little period there where you're bringing those calories back in and your body's rebounding because your metabolic rate was so slow from all of those years of under eating. You definitely want to make sure that number one, you're eating high quality food and you're eating enough protein. And then don't be trying to add too many calories at once. I like to do them in like maybe the first week I go up like a bigger chunk, like 150 to 200 calories, but maybe the weeks after that, depending on my progress, I'll go up by like 50 to 100 calories a week. You got to be comfortable with the fluff. You know, you just got to understand that if you do this the right way, when you cut again, you're going to look so much better. But you have to understand, and now's a better time than any. I don't know where you live, but if you're in a cold place, then take advantage of that. You know, like if you're in Tampa, like me, I'm wearing tank tops every day. You're going to notice when I have a little bit of extra fluff. So let's see. I find sleeping on my bad shoulder makes me feel more safe, but I wake up still. Mine has been surgically repaired. It's skinny on that side, though. I'm scared to work it out. Oh, Katie Cat, by the way, you can totally, first of all, if you have a bad shoulder, if you train that other shoulder, you should be able to see some strength gains transfer over because of the magic of your nervous system. But as long as there's no pain, definitely don't be afraid to try to work that shoulder, because then the other thing that happens is strength is so important for, you know, stability and, you know, for injury prevention. So you want to keep that thing strong. Seth, what's up, dude? What are your thoughts on a bacon fast and how long would you do one if you did? I'm sure it would be great, especially if it's someone who is used to eating this really complicated menu and you just want to make it like so that you just kind of give yourself a reset. I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 days of just bacon. It's not something that I would do, but I get why people do things where they only eat one type of food. People do egg fast, people do bacon fast. I just like, it's not attractive to me at all. And I just, I'm a little bit more traditional in that sense. But if you find that, or if you think that it's going to help you, make it easier for you to simplify your menu later on, then it's definitely something, but I guess I would do it for 3 days if I did it. And I think that's it. I think we got through all of them. And I think that we are just about at right around an hour for this. So let me see. So someone just said, Roger said, you remember my shoulder problem? All the exercise you gave me added up to preparing to fix it. Says having a good tight massage with the Theragun also activated the nerves. Got 90% of the nerves back and strength is coming back slowly, but it's coming back. That is freaking amazing. That's awesome, brother. Yeah, I mean, Roger, that's one thing that he's really good about is doing all of the extra stuff, like doing the correctional exercises, getting that soft tissue work. I know a lot of people, Ben is not a big fan. One of my best friends, Ben, is not a big fan of soft tissue work and supportive gear and things like that. But I find that it does have a place as long as you understand that it's not your only thing. You need to be doing everything else as well. Oh, I skipped yours. Mark, let me see. Where's yours? Let me see. Mark Brown. How did I miss it? Let me see. Maybe I missed it. Hold on. Well, I did, if it's the one about the, we need a man's gospel to be preached. I did answer that one. I did talk about that one, unless there's another. Thank you, brother. Love you. Oh, how did you get into to be such an awesome papi to your kids? Man, I'm really proud, really, really proud of my role as a father. And it is my number one, absolutely my number one priority in my life is my boys. And, you know, I had a really good example from my father. My dad was just, he was so human. And he was rough. He was definitely rough with me because I was a freaking man. I was a handful, guys. I was a hoodlum. I was a violent kid. You know, I got kicked out of my middle school for doing something really, really stupid and violent. And I had to go through anger management. But like, you know, I got that from him. My dad, he is a recovering addict. You know, he was addicted to some pretty hard drugs when I was a kid, and we were bankrupt. We didn't have money. And, you know, he just, thank God, my mom gave him a second chance. And, you know, he just became the best dad ever. You know, he just became we didn't even have that much money, but everything he did was to give me the resources to do well. Like if I needed to go to a football camp, he wasn't buying me toys. He wasn't buying me all this other crap. And I don't do that for my sons either. You know, I just don't. But he does, you know, when I'm passionate about something, he gets excited about it. And he, when I was a kid, he would just see, all right, let's look into this. How can we make you better at this? How can we support this? You know? And so I took that and then, And then I just kind of ran with it. And I always wanted to be a dad. You know, I just always wanted to be a dad. I'm going to freaking get emotional here. But I love my role as a father, and I care a lot about it. And I think a lot about it every day. And we did a lot of reading. We did a lot of, a lot of prayer. And, we just keep them in our, at the front of our minds every single day. That's just kind of how you got to do it. You got to set boundaries. You got to show them the things that you want them to learn. You got to put them in difficult situations. You have to challenge them, and you have to love them and give them lots of attention. And you have to think about, like, you got to be really mindful. Like, you got to be like, for example, I don't know if they can hear me, but they just got home. You know, like this morning, Dean wanted to show me the floss. I don't want to learn the floss, and I don't know how to do the floss, but you know what? I stopped what I was doing and I tried to do it, you know? And it's those little things. Just think about it this way. If your child asks you a question to, like, can you do this with them? Or can you spare a minute to do that with them? You have to be really mindful, and you have to just be like, I'm going to do this for them. You know, I don't say later. Or if you do say later, because I do that sometimes, then make sure that you do it later. Make sure that you're not like just saying later and never doing it. Because that's, you're just going to, I mean, think about your child. They have this huge, massive bubble of happiness. And they come to you and they share this big balloon bubble with you. And you freaking pop it. And then they walk away. You don't notice. And I mean, things like that just break my heart, you know? So that is... That's just how I we want a video of the floss. we need more fathers in this day. We need more. Thank you, brother. We need more fathers, and we need more men. I guess I'm going to end this podcast the way I started it. We need more men. We need more men to stand up for what is right. We need more men to be there for their children. Stay at home. Don't let the mother of your children parent your kids alone. They need you. They need a man. And let me tell you straight up, look, listen to the episode we did with Suzanne Venker. When your son, especially if it's a son, your son, when he hits like maybe like 10, the mother's not going to be, she's going to be that loving, influence and that caring, but she's not going to, at that point, you're not really going to look to her. It's just kind of how it works. You're going to look to your dad to tell you what's up. And then when that kid hits 15, 16, that kid is going to definitely have to be put in positions. We used to do vision quests, you know, like the Native Americans, they would make their sons at a certain age go on alone and be out in the wilderness and kill something and come back. And then everybody in the village says, you are a man now. You know, we don't really have those things as much. I definitely want to do them. And we have ideas, like Ben and I have talked about, like, survival trips, hunting trips, maybe taking them on a few hunting trips with us, and then, you know, letting them get their first tag, you know, letting them kill their first animal and see, you know, appreciate what that's like. But there has to be, along the way, there have to be these benchmarks, because it's not just about you giving them, you know, giving them that title of, hey, you're a man now. It's not just about that. That's super important. But they have to earn it, because if they don't earn it in the back of their minds, they're going to know that they're not a man. And then it's going to be a lie to them, and it's going to be hard for them to accept. So for women, you know, raising girls, I didn't, you know, God didn't put it in my life to have a girl. But, if you're a father and you're raising daughters, you show them what they should expect from a future husband by the way you treat your wife, by the way you treat your mother, by the way you treat all the women in your life. Forget about anything that you say. They're going to be watching what you do. And by the way you treat her, you know, so it's just so important. And nowadays, like, you know, children are the future. 2012 election, I'll tell you guys, Maura and I had been all about Ron Paul. We were freaking knocking on doors, campaigning, and then the Republican Party screwed him over, and I was done with politics. And that's when it was a blessing, because that's when we decided, because we both have this strong sense of justice and fixing what's wrong with the world. And there's so much wrong with the world. And we realized that politically, it's never going to happen politically. I just don't put your hope in political candidates, because you will be sorely disappointed. And regardless of who's in office, they are so far away from you. You're living a lot of your life alone in your own little island. You need to do what you can control. What can you control? Financial independence, financial discipline, your health, and the way you raise your kids. If you raise your children, and you know, that's in my top five priorities, the way I raise my boys. If you raise your kids to be, you know, high emotional intelligence, you know, men and women of honor, of virtue, who have a desire to serve others, that's how you change the world, guys. That is how you change. Like, everything that's important in this world is never going to get changed from the top down. Every single attempt that has tried to do that has failed. Look at Cuba, look at Russia, look at United States. No, just kidding. So yeah, like just understand the same thing with keto. We're not going to get, we can try, but like, what are the odds of us changing the food recommendations in this country? Very, very low. Everything comes from the bottom up, and it starts with you. So that's the end of my rant. I think that's it. So guys, thank you so much for joining me on this, and I hope you enjoyed it. And have a great day.